May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, holy and loving God. Amen.
Amen.
How about that gospel reading? Nothing like a little doom and gloom on a sunny summer Sunday morning. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, not peace, but division. This passage is full of judgment and anger. What is the deal? What happened to peace on earth and good will toward all humans? Where is the baby Jesus? It reminds me of that classic of American cinema, Talladega Nights. The comedy in which Will Ferrell plays NASCAR driver Ricky Bobby. One night, after much success, Ricky Bobby is at home. Somehow he's still wearing like his driving outfit, but he's at home with his family with a bunch of fast food on the table, and he decides he's going to say grace, but he says, "I like the Christmas Jesus." So he decides his grace will be to the Christmas Jesus, and he starts his prayer. "Dear 8 pounds, 6 ounce, helpless, newborn, but omniscient baby Jesus, Christmas Jesus, the Jesus we meet today is not Christmas Jesus. This passage is not for babies. It requires dedication and maturity to glean the importance of this passage. But I believe we are called to that challenge. So let's dive in. To get some perspective, let's start with the passage from Jeremiah. This passage is no softball either. "Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" Again, God seems angry. Why? What's going on? In Jeremiah's time, Judah, the southern kingdom, was full of false prophets. They only told the king good news. Imagine that. A news channel that only told people what they wanted to hear. Jeremiah was called by God to warn the people about the Babylonian invasion. But the voice of the false prophets, the chorus of self-interested sycophants, drowned out Jeremiah, and Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. Because of those false prophets, Jerusalem was unable to read the signs that Jeremiah was holding. It's the same sort of reading the signs that Jesus is talking about today. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it is going to rain, and so it happens. This week got a little cold, and I saw some people around town like, "Oh no, it's coming, and summer's over." Such are the signs of our times. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Dear friends, it does not take a political genius to read the signs of our times, to see that everything is not okay. It is not okay that we are growing numb to mass shootings. It is not okay that we imprison children and deny them basic needs like soap and toothpaste. It's not okay that 10% of the population controls over 70% of the wealth. It's not okay that women earn 79 cents to every dollar that men earn in the same jobs. It's not okay that an African-American baby boy has a 32% chance of going to jail in his lifetime. It is not okay that we are destroying the planet, that we have lost over 52% of our global biodiversity, that we lose 10,000 species a year, or that climate change goes unchecked. These are the signs of our times. Signs pointing to the changes that need to come. Look around. We are already divided. Father against son, mother against daughter, and yes, the oh so rare mother-in-law against daughter. The political divisions that are rampant in our country have not brought us closer to God's kingdom. They have not brought us closer to justice or community or the embodiment of Christ's love. As I read this passage, I can't help but think of like hippie peace. You remember hippie peace? No. I think of how shallow and ephemeral that notion became, even though it's a beautiful notion. And I think about how different that is to seeking God's shalom, the biblical depiction of God's justice and peace, an effort that focused on the health of the whole. Like Jesus, I long for the health of the whole. Recently, my father was diagnosed with cancer in his kidney. And when I found out about that, I just thought, let's get in there and get that out, get that kidney out. And that's what they want to do, but it could not come soon enough for my family. That is the sort of division that Jesus means today, a surgical procedure for the health of the whole. I don't believe there's a panacea for our social ills. I don't believe that the work ahead of us is easy, but I do believe that the work is important. And I believe that the change we need is already born. It is within each of us. It is coming, and it might take a while. Like MLK and Theodore Parker before him, I believe that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. And as I wait that long arc, I know that the change that strikes fear into the heart of the powerful sheds light on those who live without hope. And that is the good news in today's gospel. Good news for the poor, for the marginalized, for the forgotten. The fire that Jesus bears in this passage is a sign of change, a sign of health for the whole. So what does that mean for us here in this place? On Tuesday, my wife and I took our three little boys up to Coulter Bay to swim for a little bit. Such a beautiful spot. We had a great time. And on the way back, we were blessed with them falling asleep in the car. And my wife and I listened to the Hidden Brain podcast. And they had this episode on nature and its impact on our health. They had a little bit that said, spending a three-day weekend in a forest preserve boosts the immune system's defense cells, so-called killer cells, by 50%. If you take the same people and test them a month later, those same defense cells are still 24% higher than they would normally be. My point is that nature is healing. It can strengthen us and empower us to face the changes that need to come. So we here in this beautiful chapel, here in the shadow of the Tetons, here in the healing beauty of nature, we are called to take what we have seen and heard and done and felt in this place and bring it to the health of the whole. Amen. Amen.